Okay. So you all got the agenda. Typically, you'll have a chairperson, which you don't have yet, but we'll talk about that, who will call your meeting to order and give you a roll call. So I will do that for you today. Chris Hubbard.
Here.
Hannah Marini.
Here.
Jim Norman.
Here.
Tony Silbert.
Here.
Angela Tuoni.
Here.
Okay. So the first thing on the agenda is just sort of to introduce yourselves and tell everybody a little bit about your background and what you're interested in. So whoever wants to begin.
I'll go.
Go for it.
Okay. I'm Angela Tuoni. I'm a lifelong South Kingstown resident. I guess what I know about and my interest would be focused around renewable energy, specifically, more recently, residential solar. I think also my interests lie in more community outreach and education and communicating the benefits of renewable energy, not just the environmental, but social and economic as well, and creating a culture of sustainability in the town, mm-hmm. And engaging the community in sustainability initiatives. Good. Do you want more than that?
No, that's good.
Okay.
That's
what
I got. It's whatever you want to share. Yeah. Want to go around?
Yeah, sure. I'm Jim Norman. I've been living in South Kingston for about 40 years down in Green Hill. We bought an old beach shack that we decided to do passive solar back starting in 1979. So, nowadays, that was old school passive. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I wish I knew it and wish the materials were available now, compared to what was happening then. A lot of glass and not as much insulation as people talk about now. We put up a wind turbine in 1985. Mm-hmm. Which operated for about 20 years, and it was decommissioned maybe 5 years ago. I've been involved in helping to bring the Junior Solar Sprint to Rhode Island with the IPRON Institute back, I don't know how long ago that was, my kids were in school at the time, and that lasted for quite a few years until New England Sustainable Energy Association sort of backed out of it, still no longer supported that program. I think it just kind of petered away. And I formed a sustainable a group that met to discuss the same sustainability that operated for a couple of years down in Charleston at the Cross Mills Library. I'm a person who I believe in conservation. I've gone conservation, I've gone production, I like conservation a lot. It's a lot cheaper, it's a lot easier. I still use a clothesline, 12 months out of a year.
Wow.
And, things like that. And so I like to see South Kingston, I like to see it improve upon and move into the other areas and with conservation and in production also. And I have I believe in outreach and a lot of things I've done have been involved in that. And I would, one program I would like to see, which is a pet project of mine, is to see maybe have South Kingston get involved with the Solar Tour Homes, which happens every October. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been, it no longer happens in New England. Nessie dropped that, but it's something which I think would be good for people to see what's going on in the town and to to attract other people from other areas to see what's going on here.
What's it called again?
It's called the Solar Home Tour. It's put on. It's sponsored by the American Solar Energy Society, and it's usually the first weekend of October. So I think that'd be a good thing. So that's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Do you want to go?
Why not? I'll give a quick one because I'm staff. This is really more about you, but I am a senior planner with the town. I've been with the town for about 5 years. I'm here tonight just in support of Chelsea because I have a little bit of background on some of our energy programs that I can discuss as we get into the meeting. It should be interesting. It should be fun. Glad to have the group formed.
Cool. Tony Silbert, primarily a business consultant, doing work in the areas of strategy, innovation, leadership development, and culture building. from a strength-based, high-engagement perspective. I have been passionate about sustainability for a long time. When I lived in D.C. around 14, 15 years ago, I helped start the Sustainable Business Network of Washington. And that was cool because we brought together all the different entities that were interested in sustainability. I mean, back then it was called, you know, it was more about risk mitigation in terms of businesses and less about, you know, it was corporate social responsibility. So I like the notion of more moving towards sustainability. And we had folks that were in it from an energy perspective. We had businesses that cared about recycling. We had people that were interested in green design. And we also had neighborhoods like the U Street Collaborative that was all about a sustainable community and neighborhood, which I also love. So big fan of the kinds of things that you're talking about, engaging the community and helping to understand what they need and want, what we need and want collectively. I know that there's a larger energy bend from what I can tell so far, but I'm open to seeing what we can co-create together. So I'm very excited.
Nice. I'm Hannah. I like a lot of stuff, but I like and have a lot of knowledge in kind of commercial scale renewable energy, which I think there are some avenues for fundraising for the town, but I'm also, my last job, I was involved with policy a lot, so I definitely still have kind of a pulse on what's going on at the state level and different programs the town might be able to take advantage of from both an energy and efficiency, and renewable energy, but also efficiency standpoint. Different municipal funding programs available at the state level. But I really like energy. I also don't know as much about waste diversion, but I'm really, really interested in it. And I'm interested in it from two ways. One, the obviously just prolonging the life of our landfill, central landfill from a environmental perspective, but also it's a public resource, and there's financial advantages doing that too. So one of the things that I really, really like about the kind of air, it's not really a subject of sustainability, is the broadness associated with it and how it's not just one skill set that makes it, that makes the idea successful. Like you're talking about strategic planning and communications, and we have all these different skills that go into it. So you can talk about, so I feel like I like renewable energy, energy efficiency, and things like waste diversion because you can convince people that it's a really great idea without ever actually having to talk about the environment because most of these things make financial and social sense also. So it's almost like tricking people in a way, you know? We're not going to tell them they're helping the environment because we're saving them a ton of money. So I like stuff like that too.
Zero waste is a great concept.
And you're not, and it's free to recycle at Central Landfill too. So if the town is able to put more into recycling rather than trash, it will save the town money as well too. It would take an initial investment from, you know, recycling and you know, the social outreach part of it. But I think that having, you know, having some way to increase recycling rates as a community would be a great place, great little project.
I was telling Chelsea, a friend of mine started a business in Philadelphia and has expanded now to three sites called Revolution Recovery, which is taking, it's sort of like recycling on steroids, but it's for building supplies.
Oh,
you know, so deconstruction of buildings. Yeah, so there's so much waste there, but they make money on it by selling, you know, the concrete, the metal, the wood, the everything. So that notion,
yeah,
I'm a huge fan of, whether it's recycling the waste.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
Anything there's a market for, really.
Could be a business as well.
Good.
The town, I don't know if the town's into starting businesses.
Not many.
That make money.
I think enabling businesses, though.
Absolutely.
Kind of getting out of the way if there's a business, if there's business ideas that you know, like that are ready to take off.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's okay. We're all passionate about, right?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Hubbard. I've been living in Wakefield for a whole 3 years now.
Nice.
we moved up. My oldest daughter just started kindergarten, and I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old behind her. Mm-hmm. So sustainability, and especially sustainability in SK, is incredibly important to me. Excuse me. I have a 25-year career in water and wastewater treatment, including stormwater and runoff water and stuff. Interrupted only by a stint in trash management and recycling.
Nice.
We renovated a house here in town. I sought out a company that would actually separate out the building materials and recycle them. Yeah. So we did that. Coined a phrase years ago, everybody likes to be green until it affects the green in their pocket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you're absolutely right. Framing it and making sure it makes environmental or financial sense, mm-hmm. I think, is a huge, huge key to making sustainability longevity.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, and you all know me. We all met individually. we don't have to go through that again. Okay, so the first, I think, thing that we were going to talk about today were some of the things that South Kingstown is already doing. Mm-hmm. So I had sent you a couple of things from John Shaw, mm-hmm. One of which outlined current projects, including the 2 landfill solar projects. He talked a little bit about some stormwater best management practices that are happening related to the High Street reconstruction. Future projects were, the transition to LED streetlights, and then some TMDL implementation related to the Narrow River. He also gave sort of a longer memo, more detailed memo about general energy efficiency projects that the town has undertaken. That memo was dated 2012, but there was a section in there where he updated. Of course, I don't have the highlighted version here. He updated it to include some things since 2012. So you have sort of a general overview of the energy efficiency stuff that the town has undertaken. I did ask Doug to sort of run through some additional efforts of the town, so I'm going to just let him take it away.
Sure, why not? Angela, you had mentioned residential solar as something you were interested in. Mm-hmm. Is anyone here familiar with the Solarize program?
Yeah.
Okay, so the town was a participant in that. This was dating back about a little over a year ago. And we had a very successful program. I'll just give you the quick highlights. We had over 60 installations through that program. Comparatively to other communities, I think we did very well. We had a ton of interest. It's a good example where I think the town, had a role in basically stimulating, some interest from the private, residents, and then also we're bringing in an installer, so kind of stimulating a program where it's really just people, connecting with an installer. And so our role was really just outreach and, doing our due diligence to make sure that the companies that we were working with were, vetted. I think we had such a resounding, a more than we anticipated. We thought that there was a good, interest in solar here. We had standing room only in this room for our, workshop. So I think it was overwhelming interest in solar, to the degree where, even after we closed the program, we were getting calls for months about, hey, can I still join that program? And it's unfortunately, we did have a close date. But we tried to make sure that we were keeping up with people, letting them know about the ongoing resources that are available. So Solarize isn't the only incentive program, that there's a lot of different ways that you can, still find grant resources, other financial incentives. The federal tax credit was still available. So we tried to work in continuous dialogue and communication with people that were calling, just to kind of serve as an initial point of contact. And we did have about a half a year after Solarize closed. We were still getting so many calls. We said, let's just do a solar education workshop, just to remind people the resources that are still there. And we had a pretty good crowd at that too. You know, people come out for us when they think that there's something that they can jump into. So we made it clear that this was just passive information, but still so much interest, people wanted to come and learn about that. So there seems to be a lot of interest there, which is good. The other program that has some connection with solar or renewable energy is the commercial PACE program, Property Assessed Clean Energy Program. Is anyone familiar with that? It's a state program. It's run through the Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank, and essentially they're offering a financing tool for property owners, in this case, commercial property owners that want to make improvements or are developing a new facility.
Say that, what's the acronym?
CPACE.
CPACE.
Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy. And the way that CPACE describes itself is it kind of says it's like, you know, basically you see a project you want to take on. Let's say it's putting up, you know, a new roof-mounted solar facility. You develop what the cost of that is. You develop a financing option, and this program offers you really long-term financing abilities, so 25-year loans. They allow you to attach the liens to the property instead of yourself, so that you can kind of look at this as I can, you know, invest in my property, I can put this type of installation up, and then I can move on without feeling like I have to pay that off before I want to maybe transfer the property. So the lien moves with the property. Because of the length of the loan, you start to see that the monthly payouts are often much less than the immediate cost savings. So these things become cash flow positive when you're able to have a loan that's that long. And they describe it as it's almost like it's like a municipal assessment. Like some people say, it's like think of it like a sewer assessment, that the town has a role where we, you know, assess this like it's a property tax assessment. It's not quite accurate. Actually, the town doesn't have a role in taking any of the money. We sort of we signed up for the program. We're an active, you know, municipal participant in the CPACE. Any commercial property owner in a town can work directly with the infrastructure bank because we've kind of authorized that. But essentially, they just the Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank provides financing. They provide, you know, an agreement with the property owner on the terms of it. And the town really just provides a role in, you know, recording the lien on the property. Envision Appraisal serves as sort of the conduit for billing folks on a monthly basis for whatever paying off the debt services on the loan. Long story short, I think it's been successful. It's funny because when we tried to have similar outreach using similar strategies, we had a meeting where we wanted to make sure people were aware and, you know, comfortable with the program. I think we had 4 people at the meeting as opposed to standing room only. But I think it's because it's so many, you know, you're talking about commercial property owners. There's, you know, compared to residents, there's just not that many in town. And businesses tend to want to act when they know they're right on the precipice of, I've got it figured out. I know I want to do it. Now I want to learn the details. They don't generally go to evening meetings to kind of as a perspective, let me think about what my options are. So I think it's a different audience. But that's not to say that that audience isn't, there's not many people out there with commercial properties that aren't looking to do that. They are considering an RPACE version of this, which would be same thing, residential, but they're not there yet. I think they're still working through some of the deed issues in Rhode Island, how that might work. It's been successful. We've got a lot of bites of interest. We do have one project that has kind of been gone through and been approved. That's at Laurel Lane Country Club, the golf course. They're going to do ground-mounted solar that's going to offset their on-site energy needs. So they're going to have a renewable energy project there. That's the third project in the state. So we're a community that has adopted CPACE, but it's a new program. There's not many across the state where we've gotten projects going. So it's glad. I mean, it's good for us to have one, and it's good for, you know, us to have you know, part of this new program. Every property owner, every commercial property owner that's talked about solar, has immediately become very interested in this. You know, whether or not they go with it, it gives them another option, another tool in the toolbox to consider financing their project. At CPACE, on the municipal end, the town is always in a process of reviewing its own facilities for energy efficiencies. That is something that, you know, it's just kind of, it's been ongoing for quite a while. We, as an example, recently applied for funding through the Efficient Buildings Fund, which is a program that's coordinated between both the Office of Energy Resources and Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank. And we basically identified a handful of improvements that could be made in some of our chief facilities. We didn't end up using program financing because it's a loan program, and I think that the town has generally been more of the mind that if we wanted to take on these improvements that we wouldn't do it through a loan process. But the process helped to bring some projects to the top of a priority list, and those projects are still being considered and really evaluated. I know lighting in Town Hall was one of them that has kind of risen to the top of, you know, potential, you know, this really could make sense. So throughout this building, a retrofit of the lighting systems. But the town is active in that. I mean, that's something that, we do have, folks that are generally always evaluating what we can do on a municipal level to be more efficient. Let me think. We've covered a lot of ground. Chelsea, is there anything else that you can think of that I might have missed?
How does the town decide how much they want to spend on either efficiency or whatever else? If they'll take, if they're not taking loans, is it just random, or is there a set?
No, I mean, it's like a process, I think, that's the decision maker is really at the town manager's level. That's where, we make the decision about, does this seem to make sense? How are we going to invest? So he looks at, the different ways to finance it. If it's a huge project, then maybe he's considering bonding that. If it's not, then it's something that, maybe we can do through our capital improvement program. But generally, I think the town has been of the mind that, we really need to be excited about the return on investment capacity of that improvement, that, we really want to see a very low return on investment in order to see that as being something we want to make that purchase right now.
You mean a very short
return on investment. So, I think there's always a process of evaluating. In any building, there's always, you could do something. In any building, you could invest more money into that building and it could be more energy efficient, but that doesn't mean that that's the right investment at that time. So I think it's... In terms of the financing, I think it, depending on the costs, there's a variety of different ways we can do it.
The only other thing I would add, which you probably already know about, is the draft solar ordinance that the planning board has a full draft recommended to the town council to basically permit and regulate solar arrays, solar systems throughout town. The draft as written would allow solar in various forms. That's solar that serves only the uses on the property, so it's like up to 120% of the existing uses by right everywhere, with a review process depending on the size, and then solar of various sizes that is over that 120% or is the only use on a property, basically in every commercial an industrial district in town, and then the larger sized residential districts are 80, 200, those districts. So that will be, I think it's scheduled for the second town council meeting in June for public hearing.
And then, just based on some of the, people mentioning what their interests are, obviously, that's the history on the energy stuff. There's tons of non-energy related sustainability efforts that the town is taking on. I think broadly the comp plan is an opportunity to be doing that. This is, we're at the beginning of a comp plan process where we're conducting outreach. I think we look at, there's a lot of different projects at a lot of different scales, which I wouldn't be able to speak to in depth in terms of like stormwater, low impact development, basically how are we, ensuring the projects that are being done at the municipal sites, state sites, that we're, maintaining the best, outcomes that we can for stormwater runoff and drainage. One project that I might highlight just because of the, my involvement was, there was a recent URI landscape architecture studio focused on the Saugatuck River. And it's germane now because we're going to be seeing a final report coming out from that. And I think that, you know, out of that, there could be some great, interesting visions for the development along the sides of the Saucotucket River. This was particularly focused on the downtown Wakefield area. And they were really pushing for, you know, the most sustainable solutions possible. So, you know, some end-of-pipe solutions, some, you know, different low-impact development solutions on the properties that were abutting. There's quite a bit of town property actually abutting the river within that core of downtown Wakefield. So there's some unique ways that, you know, we might be able to take on these projects. So it's, and that one was actually a mix between, you know, a real economic development focus. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, how do we also bring people in, you know, treat the river the way it should be treated, but then also bring people in and you know, have it serve as the attraction that it can be, and, you know, kind of create that downtown, you know, where the there is their spot. And I think broadly the town has been fairly, over its time that I've been here, you know, pretty progressive with its its planning principles in terms of village design, you know, trying to really bring the core services into the villages, acknowledging that, you know, village planning is a core component of, you know, good community design. And transportation, you know, it was an early adopter of the complete streets. So, you know, a lot of different ways that, you know, sustainability impacts that I think this town has been, from a policy standpoint, really, you know, positioned itself well.
Excuse me, what's the complete streets?
It's like, basically it's, you know, looking at street design from the perspective of all users. So pedestrians, bicyclists, transit, you know, ADA. So basically how do we make sure that what we're designing is something that encompasses all the users? In a rural community, that can be tough. You know, you don't just start building sidewalks in an isolation. You have to, it needs to make sense, but it's something that, as at a philosophical level and on a policy level, I think the town is pretty you know, well equipped.
Right, and on that note, we have a yet to be appointed bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee that the town has just initiated. So while that is certainly part of sustainability, I think we will sort of let them take that discussion where they can, and we can give them recommendations or things to think about, but. Since we have now a whole committee dedicated to that, I don't know that we need to hash that out necessarily.
I just heard about that. I ride with one of those groups.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The grumpy old men, the GOM. It's like four different bike groups that are passionate about riding around here.
Yeah, we get a lot of people attend the meetings to talk about bikeability, walkability,
yep.
lots of people interested in that. And it makes sense. I mean, we are, like I said, a community of villages where people, you know, want to not have to get in their car. They want to walk or bike to where they need to go.
Yeah. And the one last thing, and I'll keep this really quick, but my introduction into the town was actually working under a project called Healthy Places by Design. Does anybody, that name ring a bell? Anybody that might have been here for...
Yours and mine. Both of our introductions.
Yeah, that's true.
That
so you, I was working as an independent consultant and was working with the town independently before I started working here full time. Chelsea was at the state, the Department of Health then, basically as the grantor for this project.
Yes.
So. It basically was a project that was focused more on health, you know, supporting healthy lifestyles, which, surprise, surprise, all these things overlap in that, you know, supporting a healthy lifestyle is also being more sustainable in general. So it was focused on village design, you know, how do we make these places places that people want to be? So walkability isn't just we built the sidewalk, but, you know, these are our core centers where people want to live, work, play. We focused on food as, you know, a sustainable local food network. Food is something that's a little new to planning, and so we're starting to address that more and more in our policies. And so, you know, addressing where are there food deserts, where is there a gap in, you know, places where people can access healthy foods, you know, a local food network is part of sustainability. Basically where people can play and recreate, and then a lot of the transportation issues. So, I mean, that's, you know, there's a ton of work, I think, that the town has some background in that, you know, really supports this, whether you're coming from, you know, truly sustainability, or if it's, you know, village development, economic development, or, you know, healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I found it interesting. The majority of the stuff had the energy slant to it, so I was like, I'm not an energy expert, so I believe that it's one part of it, but I'm really hopeful that we can connect the dots. And a big fan of bringing in the local businesses into the conversation as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I just think that helps to keep everyone sort of working together towards the same goals and being aware that this stuff exists. There might be other folks that would be interested in the C-PACE or a million other things that don't know about it.
Yeah.
If it weren't for Charlie Westcott, I wouldn't have even known about this committee. Everyone knows Charlie.
So do you have any questions not that we necessarily can answer all of your questions, but if you have questions about what the town is doing, we'll, take them, try to answer them, get an answer for you.
I don't think this is necessarily a short answer, but I think it might help us. So because sustainability is so broad and how many things did you just talk about? 15 things. Mm-hmm. There's so many things going on already. So I think it makes sense for us to figure out where we could be the most helpful in our committee when we're trying to figure out in this early stage of what kind of our work plan is going to be. So I think it would be really helpful to kind of hear where you think, it sounds like you're doing a ton of awesome work, but where you think the shortcomings are, or where you think that you could use some extra brains or hands or, that way we're not just I'm interested in this. Let's work over here. It's where can we really be helpful to the town? So I don't know if that's, there might be something that's already been assessed within planning or elsewhere. I'm not sure.
And we might have different answers.
And I'm interested in what Abel might think about that question.
You guys can get together too. I'm not trying to.
Tell me
what you're bad at.
That's a good question. That's
a good question. And what I was thinking is that, you as a committee, I have a list of all the things that we all talked about that you might want to work on. So if you as a committee sort of come up with what you think the priorities are, we could bring that back to staff in general, town manager, town council, and say, of these things, is there something that you think is the most, the most pressing? Because I do think you don't want to work on something that is not important or is not valuable.
Or that you have internal staff already working on, So we don't want to be redundant if it's not necessary.
Yeah. So I think if we sort of come up with maybe what you think generally your priorities should be, we can take that list and sort of vet it through town, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay, so that's one answer.
That would be my answer.
What's your answer?
Because I don't know what... I'm curious. I don't know, without sort of seeing the full picture of things that you could possibly work on or that you have interest in, because we could come back and say something and you'd be like, none of us think that's really important. So that, that's it's important that you think it's valuable as well.
Okay.
It works. My answer. Don't know.
What do you think, Abel?
The comment?
Absolutely.
No. So the same lesson.
Does that mean you have a list?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked.
Can you show me what I think?
To a large degree, I agree with Chelsea. I think I believe in the sort of democratic framework that got you here. You're part of a committee. This is your committee, so I want you to own it and want to be working on what you want to work on. I know that you have a lot of interests around sustainability writ large, and I think you're going to be a great team and cover a lot of the most important areas that we need to tackle. So I'm sure whatever you do will be good. And I want to just emphasize the great resources that the staff here are, and Doug and Chelsea are experts on a lot of this stuff.
Nice.
Going back to the Wayback Machine, the funny thing is I put Ray Nickerson, who was the planner here a while back, in touch with that Healthy Places by Design grant application. I sent it to him.
Nice.
So we're all connected. So
that was in your Club on days?
Yeah,
no,
that was Sierra
Club
days.
Yeah,
so I was very intent on getting the town interested in that and getting us to pass that complete streets resolution back in the day. So it's all very incestuous.
Yeah.
There's a great GIS resource. There's the GIS staff person here, Carol Baker, who knows the program in and out. So I think you know, if you want to do something like mapping where good solar resources are in town, something like that could be done, and you can produce some really cool things that the town could use. I think it would be good to vet things that come out of the state level, sort of like OER reports, like they have a wind sighting report. That's going to be a difficult issue, like it is in any municipality. Like, is there the appetite in South Kingstown to put up big wind turbines? And I think this committee can have sort of that forum where it brings in the public, brings in OER, and sort of hashes that out. I think that would be a really big service. I think the more of those types of things that you can do, hosting workshops that get state players or renewable energy developers or whatever in here interacting with the public, the better part of that outreach. And outreach to the business community, like you've already talked about. I think getting people more aware about CPACE is, I think, great. I think Schneider Electric would jump on that program, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to help make that connection. But yeah, making some sort of high profile, or helping facilitate some high profile projects like that in town will just feed on sort of the success we've already had. So just doing outreach is great. I think we also do have some of this big project ongoing on the landfills, and I think we have access to like a energy consultant who's sort of like along for the ride with that project. Is that
for
right?
some free from technical support?
Yeah, I just wonder if that could be looked into, because that guy could probably, you have a lot of resources too through WED, I'm sure, but just on what the town can do with some of its own resources. I think we have the roofs of all the schools, which are these huge, perfect placements for solar, and there's programs at the state level to put solar on schools. So I think, you know, we don't get to interact with the schools that much, but you as a committee can sort of make recommendations to the schools on how they can generate income through solar development. They obviously need income. And they don't have the bandwidth to really be right. thinking about this stuff. So I think, and the same for municipal buildings. I think, the staff is working on all the issues that are just day to day. If you guys could help write like a grant for any type of state programs and get more resources brought into town that way, that would be excellent. You know? You guys would like help writing grants, maybe?
We would love help.
Yeah.
We would love help with pretty much anything you want to do.
So those are things that sort of jump off the page at me when I started writing down some thoughts. I think electric vehicles, looking farther out, are going to be a really big part of the transformation of society in terms of moving towards a clean energy economy. Mm-hmm. So looking at ways that the municipality can help that, whether there's small zoning things that can be done, or, you know, getting charging stations on municipal lots in town, stuff like that.
Yeah, there are some, I don't know if it's happened in Rhode Island, but I have read some articles about like thresholds for large-scale commercial or industrial, where if you have so many parking spaces, you have to include a charging, charging spot.
So, you know, that's, like I said, I think longer term, but something definitely to be thinking about. And then I think the other resources we haven't done, we have URI, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of expertise at URI, so that's another chance to sort of do outreach in the community on sustainability topics. So this is probably broader than just energy, of course, but energy as well.
Fishing, sustainable fishing.
A lot of it, fishing, water management, the waste stream talks that we were talking about. We also have CRMC has, you know, one of their major offices right here at the government center. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that they'd be very happy to actually come in and do a presentation on vulnerability in South Kingstown. I think they have a presentation on Matunuck in particular. And it would be good to get, I think a lot of residents are sort of aware of it at this point, but probably not aware of just how soon sea level rise is now projected to come and have a pretty big impact on us. So I think that's an important conversation that people should be having.
I had an idea that I, again, shared with Chelsea, you know, just the notion of sustainable SK and having kinds of forums that bring businesses, community members, different people together. Did you come to the thing that I ran at the Land Trust, the cocktails and cups, something like that? So I did this session at the Land Trust with another colleague of mine. It was called Cocktails and Conversations, Voices and Visions Rocking Our South County Economy. So we had people that were framing the economy, and we had the economy community builders. And you would hear these different success stories. But it'd be interesting to see, first of all, what does sustainability mean? You know, even having like a map, you could even have spaces where people go talk that are interested in energy, that are interested in water, that are interested in community. And just starting that sort of dialogue and conversation sort of, to me, sparks the conversations that can turn into, why don't we write a grant? Did you know that there's this thing? So something like that, just like a... having some sort of initiative like Sustainable SK or however it would be phrased that aligns with what the town is already trying to do and expands it further. Love to do that. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. Could really have as a goal setting out like a sustainability plan, you know, and have it, you know, have a big release on the final date, something like that.
I was going to be my suggestion. So I mean my thoughts, I mean, Hannah, you asked the question, what is it that you guys should be what should this group be focused on? And that's the thing, I don't think we have one answer to that. It's not like there's this glaring hole. I would say from a policy standpoint, I think the town is very, you know, out of all the things that sustainability covers, you know, general land use issues, are we, you know, developing in compact ways, transportation issues, natural resource issues. I think we have a really good policy foundation right now. So it would be something that's worth everyone knowing about and thinking about the broader pictures, but it's well covered. I think energy is something where it's new. We don't have, you know, we've got some good programs on it that I described, but it's something that, you know, it could be a good focus of this group. I do think that this group will have its work cut out for it to really wrap its arms around its own work plan. That probably will take you a while to you really figure out, okay, well, here's what we want to do and how do we do it, and, you know, is there an actual viable use for our group to be working on that? But I think, you know, to develop a strategic plan for sustainability in the community, to really outline that as a, both a communication tool with the, you know, the community as a whole, this is what we think is important, this is what we want to work towards, I think that would be a good outcome for this group to be thinking about.
Nice.
And how would that fit in and align with the comp plan?
I mean, we're in the process of updating our comp plan right now, so I guess it depends on the timing of things, but I would say that, you know, certain things, it can basically live as a document. It does its own, it serves its own function. It's meant to get into a maybe a greater level of detail on topics than the comp plan would, but it could be something that it actually is, you know, creates direct amendments for the comp plan. So it's pieces that we want to say, this is an important policy that really should be reflected in it. I think our goal with the comp plan, if you look at the comp plan right now, it's about this thick. And Chelsea, I think her vision for the comp plan is to take a document that's this thick and turn it into something that's that thick and that you can hand to a resident and say, here's a quick guide to important things in the community. Basically make it more of a communication tool with residents, and I think that's a good use for it instead of trying to be the do-all, cover-all. So, you know, do we want to, you know, our comp plan to have a, you know, sustainability component that doubles it? Probably not, but do we want to have a comp plan that has all of the strength of the sustainability plan, the most important high-level aspects incorporated right into it? Yeah, definitely. But yeah, you guys may not be wrapping up a strategic sustainability plan by the time we're done with the comp plan. So it may be something that you can kind of learn about the comp plan and learn about the outreach that's going on, learn about the big issues, and then maybe you can kind of help define the next steps, take it another level deeper. For, you know, what you guys may be wanting to work on.
Things update a lot things are updated constantly, I'd say, in sustainability topics as well. Like if you look at the state energy plan from 10 years ago, it said like the state should do more energy efficiency. Well, what does that even mean? Like that was the level of detail about energy efficiency. Then you look at the one they did a few years ago, there's a lot more details, but I feel like the more specific a document gets, which I think it's really important to have those details, but the more specific it gets, I think the more often it needs to be updated. And so, the comp plan, I know there's a big process around adopting something like that. So maybe the sustainability plan would be more of like a living document that it's easy to add an update as things become relevant.
I would agree. I think it's like it's got to do both, right? Like, what are the high-level goals that won't change, year to year? And then what are the projects that, hopefully we outline projects that we accomplish in a couple of years. So,
and maybe the high-level goals would be more, the really high-level goals would be more captured in the comp plan, and then we can go into specifics.
Yeah, and that's part of it. I mean, I don't know how much everyone here is familiar with, comp plans, but, understanding how different municipal policies relate to each other and set the foundation for actions. That's, I think everyone, even municipal planners are always being educated and learning more about how that works and how we can do it better.
I'm just curious, what amount of time do you spend on the policy foundation making versus the implementation of the policies or the actioning? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Policy
can enable actions to happen.
Yeah.
But what you ultimately want is more action happening toward the good that we're trying to do together.
Right. I think the planning department, we're the planning department. We're not the implementing department necessarily. But the things that we plan help other town departments implement, right? So, we do a lot. Part of our job is project review. So no one really outside of the planning board sees all of that. There's a whole, projects come in, we review them. It's a whole separate, very intense process.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, which is probably 50% of our staff time, we do a lot of sort of special projects planning, where we did the village plans, we do CDBG, we do grant writing and things like that. We don't actually, we as a department, other than writing zoning ordinances, doing subdivision regulation amendments, those are sort of our implementing.
Mm-hmm.
But we pass a lot of our stuff on to public services and parks and recreation and highway to sort of implement the things that the committees come up with, if that makes sense. So our implementing really is still policy because it's still zoning implementation and regulation implementation, some grant writing style implementation, but most of it's planning.
Yeah. It's a balance. I guess you would term me as the special projects planner. I actually, for 5 years in the town, rarely touched development plan review. So that's something that other positions in town hall do. So I get to do more of the projects. But even at that point, really, it's, Solarize is an example. That was a project that the planning department took on. But really, it was enabling, a private installer to better connect with residents. So really, we were just a facilitator. It was not policy. It was
more
Angie's
List.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were Angie's List with one installer that we told everyone we really, really think they're good. There are a lot of projects that do occur, but I'd say even the projects that we take on, rarely is the planning department out there actually saying, we'll be shovel ready and at this date. We're generally still, it might not be high level policy. It might be more now we're actually doing direct, we're creating direct connections and we're starting to see, what the work will be. But it's, I would say to answer your question, in this group, we'll still be kind of at that high level policy for a little while. But if you guys, this is what we said, if you guys are aware of a specific program project that, the town should really be involved in, I would say that it was probably, a town council, pushing and saying, we really got to do Solarize. And that, helps. And so this group could say, what's the next thing that we really should consider and do?
Mm-hmm.
And that raises things, helps us on a staff level to raise things to say, okay, let's take a really close look. Okay, let's do this. This is worth the staff time. This is worth the investment.
And I think, you know, when the town manager and I talked about this committee specifically and staffing the committee, we talked about, you know, varying the staff. So planning would be your primary staff support. But if you have things you want to talk about with public services, well, then they'll come to your meeting. Or you want to talk about things with, you know, the Parks and Rec Department, they'll come to your meeting. And, you know, through sort of a team approach, because sustainability can't just happen with just planning, we would help to implement whatever that sustainability plan is that you come up with. Because really, I mean, in town hall, we sort of try to take the team approach in general, where we're not just the planning department, we're town, you know, we're town staff. So I think, yeah, whatever it is you want to do, we will get you the expertise to be able to do it.
Nice.
Just a quick question about conflict of interest. I sell machinery to wastewater treatment plants for a living.
Okay.
And I'm very involved in the project with Kathy and John right now on the dewatering upgrades. And they're looking at two of the lines that I represent. So I just don't want to get anybody, especially myself.
Yeah, I think you're okay as long as this committee is not making recommendations on who buys things from who.
Okay.
Yeah. And if they do, then you can
excuse
yourself.
Yeah, just from whatever vote is taken.
It's good to be aware of, because I think, you know, I staff a lot of boards and commissions, and sometimes people just aren't aware of, like, some of the, like, oh, I should be aware.
Yeah.
If something comes up where there's a conflict of interest, how do I handle that?
Yeah. There's a form that you can fill out. You just recuse yourself from whatever that specific vote of the committee would
be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Other than that, no problem.
Good.
Yeah, I think another one, just as almost like a base rule, is to be aware of, now that you're an official municipal committee, that you can really only discuss formal business at posted meetings. So I know Chelsea's probably going to go over the details, but you know, like what, you know, just something as simple as I wanted to send out a blast email to everybody to start a conversation about this new thing that we should talk about at the meeting. Like, actually, we can't do that
because
you're creating a dialogue and forming opinions and starting to shape your positions on things outside of a posted meeting.
So we can use Slack and just invite everyone else to it. Join in.
But it's funny, we've gotten into things even when it's like, hey, this group all just wants to have a side meeting, you know, not on your regular night. Well, if there's a quorum of a group, that should be a posted meeting. It's things to be aware of when you are just having conversations. Another thing that's important to be aware of is, let's say there's a pending project, something that you think that is important to sustainability. Maybe it's a pending development project that's coming in and you may have a role in reviewing it. And let's say the newspaper calls you and says, we just want to get your, you know, opinion on it, a quote on it. You should be a little neutral in your quotes, especially before it's been reviewed by the group, because you can kind of prejudice yourself from being able to serve as a review function. I don't know how much development plan review this group will do, but let's say there's a major new, design for a solar facility and we want this group to have a look, and we'll say it's a huge one and that, you know, it's got interested parties on both sides and a lot of conversation. This group needs to serve as a quasi-judicial role in reviewing any project that it sees. You know, you're a neutral body, you may have opinions, but you focus that around what's the best choice for the town, and you don't want to necessarily, you know, predicate or prejudice yourself prior to a review. So that happens occasionally, where you know, someone asks you and you make your opinion public prior to a review. You might have to recuse yourself at that next meeting.
So I guess sort of going back to Hannah's question, I do think, and I think Abel touched on this, the town could use a substantial amount of help generally getting the word out about sustainability, educating the public about the benefits. And whether that's done through a series of forums or, you know, presentations by experts or whatever it is, you know, even holding, let's say the sustainability committee was going to hold a presentation by CRMC, getting people in this room, the town could use help with. You know, we have limited advertising budgets and things like that, so just sort of being the manpower behind your own initiatives, I think, would be a huge help.
I would love to create just a map and then, you know, something that looks something like this, that has whatever, if we call it sustainable SK, or I don't care what we call it, or the notion that we're developing some sort of plan. Here's just energy, and I just have energy, community, transportation, there's build, so I don't know how we would want to categorize those, but I'd want to know who are all the people that are stakeholders that are involved in that. I'd want to know what are the initiatives state and locally, and I'd want to know what's the future. And that might be us sharing what we think the future is. It might be engaging others to say what they think the future is, but it's easy to get sort of at least around something that gives us an area of focus, even if you think we can play a bigger role in energy as the low-hanging fruit initially. You know, I'm open to wherever we can make the biggest impact as a collective group, but at least for me, it'd be helpful to know, because even getting those emails with something from 2012 was new to me.
Right.
I think a lot of people want to know. I think it's taken for granted that people understand stuff, and it's not. I mean, I ran that group down, Gross Mills, and it was really popular, and we covered all.
What was the group?
We just called it the sustainability group, and I mean, we covered people. We had everything. We had people. We had a forager come in, someone who foraged mushroom. One night we had food. We had foraging. We had someone who had a bait shop and was a really great fisherman. And I can't remember what the third person was. We did all sorts of. We had nights on photovoltaics. We had nights on solar hot water. And we had all these issues. And it was always 20 or 30 people would show up. And it was I take it for granted, and I think I know stuff too, and I don't. And it's just people want to know this stuff because it's in the news, but it's like everyone takes it for granted that, you know, you read this, you're supposed to know what it does. How does a photovoltaic system work? You know, you're supposed to just know that, how does it go into it, you know, and all these things. So I think that, I mean, I'm really supportive of doing a outreach program for the town and getting in there and doing something that's whether it's every other month, quarterly, or whatever, that's a regular thing that people can look forward to. And one of the biggest problems I think is that as time has gone on, accessibility to meetings happening becomes more difficult. You know, the social media, and then there's a population in the town that doesn't do social media. So then, as the newspapers become less, so it's going to be difficult to get the word out, I think, is one of the tough things. Where do you, whether you post it or, how do you do that?
Yeah. I think that's a good question. I think outside of the town hall. You don't have to meet here in the council chambers, which can be intimidating to people. You can go out to community centers. Or places where there are people that you might want to specifically target. You'd go to the housing authority if you thought people at the housing authority needed to hear about energy efficiency that they could take advantage of. Or you can go to the Land Trust Barn and they have a beautiful spot to have meetings. I'm sure they'd be happy to offer a space, or Thunder Mist has meeting space. Hmm. Yeah, feel free to get out there. You don't have to meet here.
Just don't send an email about it.
Right. Not to each other. You can send an email to other people.
Yeah. Oh.
Not to the group.
You can
send an email to Chelsea. She's your
go-to. I never realized how challenging that was. I mean, I've had to oblige by open meeting laws before, but that actually means, though, that it's not like a meeting that you come and talk about what you've been working on, because you can't really work on anything together anywhere else but here.
Unless it's posted.
Meetings.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you wanted to have an interim meeting...
You only have to post 2 days in advance, though, right? So it doesn't have to be necessarily at the scheduled time.
Right, so if you wanted to say, okay, next week we're going to meet on Friday to talk about this very specific thing, we would just post that for you.
Okay.
If you want to have a site visit, we would just post that for you. We just can't have communication that is not at a posted meeting.
Yeah, yep.
So how do you, if you wanted to have, a little... Not subcommittee.
Two people.
On this committee, because you have five, you could have a subcommittee of two. They could meet, talk about things, and then report back.
Good.
Your quorum is three, so you can't have three or more.
I wanted to bring that up, too. If you feel like you need a few more people on the committee, because I know there's interest in the town to serve on the committee.
To make the quorum, maybe.
We could increase the size of the committee to say 9 or whatever. That's That'd what we did great. With the bike ped.
That would be great.
But you just need to, I would say, write a letter to us and request that or something. another thing.
Not an email.
No.
Just not so I don't look like I'm reading people's minds and stuff. Uh-huh.
Right. There's an official request that would have to be put out. Which
you could put that out to our group so that we can, one of us can do that?
Yeah, so let's on.
Well, the group would have to vote for it.
Though. They would have to vote, so we'll put it on the next agenda.
Just go through a few of my last points here. another area where SK is really leading, but nobody knows about it because it's all just done by private individuals, but I think 3 out of the 4 passive solar homes mm-hmm. that are in the state are in our town. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be a point of pride and really a type of code that we should be promoting. Like, it doesn't have to be what we're asking people to build at this point. At some point, I think that's where society needs to be. But if we have like a stretch code with where people, you know, get special recognition for having a passive house, that would be great. But thinking about housing codes that way, mm-hmm. I think would be good. So other sort of groups in town to be aware of, there is a conservation committee,
yes.
which I often lose sight of personally, which is bad of me. But they should be thinking about a lot of these issues too, right? And I don't know how there's any interaction. Doug might be able to.
Sure. I mean, I can give you as one quick example. The Conservation Commission was recently kicking around an idea of a local consideration of a ban on plastic shopping bags, which it's like, as an example, it's a topic that could be very polarizing. It could be difficult to read if the community would actually as a whole support that. But that's an initiative that they're taking on, and you know, it certainly has a lot of overlap with sustainability. We'll see where that goes, but I think there's a lot of things that other groups might be taking on that overlap with what you do. My Economic Development Committee does a lot of different work that, you know, might overlap. You'd be surprised to see where the overlaps might be. You know, historic preservation in some ways overlaps with sustainability. I think that... that's why, you know, you guys really could work on anything, but, you know, you probably want to have some sort of, like, how do we define and focus our efforts? And then, you know, how do you, if there's a desire to do, like, let's get some on the ground, you know, let's maybe have some forums. What are the topics? And I think you guys can help define that. Other groups, I think, are doing similar things in their own realm as well.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited about this. I think I actually had written down the plastic bag ban here. And I have mixed feelings about plastic bag bans, I have to say. Even though I'm an environmentalist, I think, you know, in a purely energy sense, it's not sustainable to ban plastic bags. But there's all sorts of litter reasons to ban them. I think... you brought up the comprehensive plan. Mm. I think in this particular update, there's requesting special sections on energy and hazard mitigation.
Yep.
So you guys don't have to help prepare those. I think that's planning staff's job. But
can we get copies of the
comprehensive plan?
Yeah. I mean, I saw there was display copies up.
I can get you a full 3-inch copy if that's what you'd like.
Is that the one with the infographics, the newer one?
There is not a newer comprehensive plan.
Well, there's one. The last one that we passed was 2014. That's the current.
You might be talking about the annual report has infographics.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, is that the style that you're going for the comp plan? That's
yeah,
great.
So we did all those annual infographics.
I'll give that to Chelsea specifically. She's very graphically inclined.
Yeah, those infographics came from my computer.
You're graphically inclined.
She is very graphically.
I saw
the report. I was very impressed. I was very impressed.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's sort of my although it's a secret that I don't like to get out.
It's not a secret.
Sorry. That did last.
We're all
been
about to
realize,
we've
secret. Been with you yeah, only an
so,
hour now.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, one of my sort of charges for the planning department is to make everything as user-friendly as possible. Mm-hmm. So comprehensive plan, this is subdivision regulations, we're working on a GIS map that any resident can go to and see what the planning board has currently under review on a map, right? So you can pull up your address and see what's around you. Because to me, I mean, and we've sort of talked about this already, a planning process isn't any good if the public doesn't really know what's happening.
Yeah.
I made the town purchase all of the Adobe Suite software so that we can actually bring our graphics up to a more modern level. But the comprehensive plan certainly will be that way. If we wanted to create posters for things or infographics for things, we can work that out.
Seems to be a common theme amongst everything that we've talked about is making information accessible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that should be at the core of whatever we decide to do.
Yeah.
I will say, 2014, I've been to a lot of towns that they're like a decade or more old the last time they did it. So that's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
In context, you know.
Well, we finished it right before the state rolled out new requirements that we should
figures.
You can blame that on me,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
we can tell you on that. There's a really nicely graphic design manual that tells us how we should do it, though. So we'll give her credit for that as well.
yeah. Sorry about that. The comprehensive plan, it's supposed to be a limited update, right? So it's supposed to be just an update that adds information that's not currently there, specific to energy, natural hazards, and climate change planning. And then just also generally, you know, when the Comprehensive Planning Act was amended, the state really felt like the state should be more clear about what should go in a comprehensive plan. So they added a lot of things. So it's supposed to be a limited update, but when we looked at the plan, you know, our 3-inch thick comprehensive plan, we all thought, well, this could be done better. You know, it could be more strategic. It could be more user-friendly. And so even though it's a limited update, we are sort of going through the whole thing and trying to weed out what's not important, make it as usable as possible so that everyone knows what it can and cannot be used for, you know, those sorts of things, which is, you know, harkens back to Wakefield Alzheimer's.
Mm.
But I think, you know, certainly the work of this committee should feed into that plan, whether in its, you know, while it's being drafted or, you know, for future amendments. It is not that difficult to amend a comprehensive plan if it's for something good.
Can I go back? Jim, I just wanted to ask you about the question about expanding this group.
Yep.
So you said if we agree to doing that, so I'm just...
Well, you said being a group, I think that we... Just point of...
Point of order, yeah. So you would have to...
Okay.
So
you weren't against...
No, I was just saying it was just a question of clarification. Yeah, we just couldn't roll into that.
You can't just say, oh, yeah, we all think that's
good.
You know, you have to actually...
Since the town council had charged the group to be a certain size at this time, that you have to go and...
Yeah, so we'll put it on your next agenda. Basically, discussion about group size, and at the end of the discussion, you'll take a vote. Do we want to, you know, someone will make a motion, we want to expand the group, request the town council expand the group to 7 people, 9 people, whatever it is. And then one of us will draft a letter for you, and you will sign it, and it'll go off to the town council.
Mm-hmm.
So you are an official group, so, you know, you have to sort of be formal about things.
Is there an average size for these?
I don't know. I mean, your groups they vary. Yeah, planning board is 7.
Say 7's a size.
7's, I think, an average.
So Conservation Commission is 7. Economic Development Committee is 11. But that's a pretty rare group.
Yeah, the bigger you get, the more unwieldy it becomes to manage.
I mean, you can imagine the diversity that you all have in terms of your ideas. I think that size can be a strength, but also focus is a strength. So you can gain and lose some pros and cons of both. But Affordable Housing Collaborative 7, Planning Board is 7.
But HDC is smaller, isn't
HDC
it?
Is staffed for 7.
It is.
And they're actually finally at 7.
Okay.
They were like below their requirement for many years because people just weren't as excited to apply for that group. But they're 7.
Yeah.
So that seems to be a number. But I mean, I think a part of it is maybe, you know, also realize that, you know, this group came with a charge and a charter and a set number, it could be, you know, maybe worthwhile taking a few months to think through and work on it with this group. Mm-hmm. If you did say, hey, let's expand the group, that those people aren't walking in the door at the next meeting. There's going to be a long process. So maybe it's worth taking a little bit of time and wrapping your arms around it before sending correspondence.
Yeah, that actually might make sense to sort of try to start prioritizing your own work as a group of five and then...
Yeah.
Expand maybe after
try to solidify some sort of direction. Yeah. This is right. It might get diluted if there's a lot of people.
Well, I guess the one benefit as you're talking about it is that a non-quorum group can be three.
That's what I was thinking.
It gives you a little bit of that, but maybe, you know, for right now, it's probably worth, you know, thinking kind of. Right.
And like I said, there isn't any reason why, if you really wanted to meet as a group of five, you don't have to meet monthly. You can meet as often as you want.
And we only have, we just have to post it in advance.
Yeah. In advance.
You can meet
you could say, I want to meet on this Thursday, and we'd post it tomorrow, and you'd be good.
So will you be our contact for that?
Can we send an email to the group about availability to meet and then post it? Or do we have to decide at this meeting? Okay.
So if you say at this meeting we want to meet again,
yep.
We, the staff, would coordinate that through you. So you'd never want to send an email to the group.
Okay.
Just stay away from it.
Okay.
Regardless of what's in it, it's just safer.
That's fine.
Send an email to the group. Send an email to me, and we'll coordinate that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a funny trickle-down thing, because if you get too comfortable, like it really isn't a breach of open meetings law to send an email to the group and say, hey, I'm interested in meeting. Oh, that's interesting. What do you want to talk about? Oh, I want to talk about this. Oh, that's an interesting thing. Can we also talk about this? Like, before you know it, you're like, oh, you're talking about the thing you're not supposed to be talking about.
Yeah. Right.
So just to be safe, I would say... No email communication amongst the group. But and certainly if there's something you want to get out to the group, send it to me and I'll send it out to the group.
Okay. Probably won't have to ask as many questions after the first meeting, but I'm just trying to make sure I don't screw it up early on.
That's good. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. So, I'll be your primary contact. We also, Ginny Paul in our office is basically who posts everything. So if you ever can't get in touch with me, can reach out to her or even Doug. I mean, anyone in our office, we're all communicative.
And I would say generally town like staff likes to attend the meetings because you're a formal group. We want to know what occurred.
We want to record it.
Yeah, we want to record it. So it's like there's a balance between, I think you guys are like, you know, and you seem to be like, I want to be able to do some work, which may require meeting a little bit more and getting into the nitty gritty and like having working meetings. So it's like trying to, you know, maybe taking some time to think about the balance between that and, you know, okay, we have to set an agenda and then we have to, you know, be able to staff it, minutes, all of that. So it's,
But we can, you know, we'll work it out.
The wheels of government, you know, we don't want it to churn so slowly that it stops this group from doing what it's interested in, right?
Cool. And we're fully staffed now, so as of today, hopefully she stays and we'll be fully staffed next week too. So I think between the three of us, we can make it work, whatever it is that you guys want to do. So with that said,
just for my part, I'm involved in a lot of sustainability discussions at the state level, and I'm happy to be a resource to the committee. You know.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
So the next thing on our agenda, which we've sort of already been talking about, is priorities and work program. So it might make sense to... I'm just going to go through a list of things that we all talked about in our individual interviews. But I think maybe it makes sense to maybe do the brain map that Tony's been talking about at our next meeting, which could facilitate really figuring out what those priorities are, you know, that sort of exercise. But let's go through, we can go through them generally. We talked about a preferred landscaper program, sustainable house tour, general communication with the public about what the town is doing and why sustainability is good, upgrades to town and school buildings, incorporating bike paths and sidewalks into road projects, adopting a policy to have public services stop mowing roadsides where it's not necessary, forums convening people around sustainability, adopting ordinances to promote renewable energy, generally better waste management, recycling programs, LEED certified buildings, reductions in runoff, fertilizer, more education, communication, renewable energy for small businesses, and promoting solar energy for low and moderate income populations. Those are the things that sort of jumped out as when we all talked.
Those all sound fun.
Sound great, right? Mm-hmm. Every single
Wonderful.
One.
Let's do it
all. Let's do it all. So I think maybe we just had a really good discussion about generally what we could be doing, right? It seems to me like everyone agrees that we want to do some kind of outreach, forum, mm-hmm. education, something. So I think we definitely include that as one of the priorities on the work program. But maybe we as a five-person group, or you as a five-person group, need to really start going through, well, what is sustainability? What are the different areas of focus, transportation or wastewater or whatever it is? And then specifically what related to each of those things makes some kind of sense. Mm-hmm. And then we get that sort of bigger list and call it out. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah. What makes sense also with what makes sense for us to do that's not already being actively worked on in the town,
right.
too?
Right.
It sounds like there's already some transportation stuff going on.
Yeah.
I also kind of heard as I just listened to the group, three things that stuck out. Certainly the education and the outreach thing, making it sounds like there's some great programs that are right there already shovel ready, so to speak,
yeah.
that people just don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like a great first area. And then the other ones I heard were the biggest impact. What can we work on that wouldn't have the biggest bang for the buck? Where's the biggest energy draw right now, or the biggest waste, or whatever it is? And then the third is kind of the low hanging fruit. Where could we get some quick little successes in that wouldn't be a whole lot of work, but they be kind of feel good things that could then feed those other two areas again.
Yeah. So I'm actually really excited that we have Tony and his expertise in strategic planning. So I'd like to propose that that you and I talk about maybe what the best process would be to make that discussion happen at the next meeting.
Okay.
And then bring that back to the group. That makes sense.
Oh.
So for now, we'll leave the priorities.
I'm already designing it.
And I can know. I can tell you why.
I can see those wheels.
We can tell.
That is great. This is my weakness. Like actually getting ideas.
I can
ideas
think this way, but she can make that happen on like a PowerPoint.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Interactive, no less.
So
good
at
yeah.
that stuff. It's amazing.
But yeah, let's maybe connect about what the process for thinking that all through would be,
yeah.
and then we can bring it back to the group for June. Does
yeah.
that make sense to everybody? Okay, so the last thing, I guess, unless we want anything else on priorities and work program for now.
Just to be clear, we're allowed to talk to you.
Yes.
About this. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out what you want to do.
Talk to me.
Don't
talk to me. Well, I can talk
to
you. But not to him.
You can talk. No, you can't talk. You can talk.
Him, yes. We can talk. You can talk to any one person.
You can talk just.
If I see you guys at the supermarket.
What's kind of fun is like it's better not to kill yourself over it. Because it's like suddenly three of you find yourself, you run into yourself in the aisle at the grocery store. It's like, no! Run! But generally you're fine to even talk to each other. It's really just think about like the group can't really get into the details of its own business outside of a posted
meeting.
Right.
Okay. So like you as a group could, I know we've had groups like go on a sailing trip, right? On one of the group members' boat, and that's fine. You just can't talk about work.
Yeah.
You can't talk about what your charge is as a group. You know, so you can talk about your charge with one other person. That would be fine. Like you and Hannah get together, you want to talk about solar, no big deal. But all five of you or three or more of you can't talk about work together.
Right.
That's
unless
sort of
we
the
go
threshold.
Far enough offshore.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah. The maritime which, rules.
Yeah, get out there.
I didn't know why we did the sailing trip in the first place.
But yeah, all right. Doug's right, though. Don't worry too much about it. Just don't, as long as you're sort of conscious that you're not supposed to talk about the things that the group works on mm-hmm. outside of a posted meeting,
yeah.
you'll be coming.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, you got
it. I just like to talk a lot, so Me too.
Yeah.
It's a small.
But I mean, if you have an idea that you want to run by one other person, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to talk to me? You want to get things? If there's something you really want to get out to the whole group, send it to me, and I'll send it to you.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Resource or whatever, just send it to me.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last really thing is election of officers. So you will need to elect a chair, a vice chair, and a secretary. That typically happens in July. We could move that up to the next meeting if you wanted to, and then you would just sort of keep it for the whole 13-month period instead of 12. You nominate people from within your group. You can nominate yourself if you want to, or someone else, and then the group votes. So just think about that. Chair, vice chair, secretary. The chair will run the meeting, do the roll call, go through the agenda, take, you know, call for motions, things like that. So the chair should have some familiarity with, you know, Robert's Rules of Order, but if you don't, we can help you with that. And I mean, the vice chair takes over if the chair is absent. Secretary at this point, because we do all your minutes, doesn't do too much really, but is there in case the chair and the vice chair both aren't at the meeting, you know. So just think about that, whether you feel like you want one of those positions. Because there's only 5 of you, so 3 of you will have to do something. And that's really all that's on the agenda for today. If you guys have anything else that you want to talk about, I feel like we covered a lot of stuff.
I would be very, especially after what Abel said about the passive homes, to try to pursue a home tour in October. If I reach out and see what American Solar Energy Society
Absolutely.
Would do by
yeah.
the next meeting. And see
I mean,
what
if
they
let's
would.
Put that. I mean, that's a sort of an active thing that we could start working on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put that on the agenda for next month.
So does NESI not do it at all anymore?
Not anymore. They moved into their, they do the professional development thing, so they offer seminars and that type of thing on a regular basis, but they no longer do the other things, like the other kind of outreach they were doing in the past, like the Soul of the Decathlon and the house tour.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if that's something specifically you want to sort of take
yeah,
on as your
take that
project,
on.
Absolutely.
One other thing, and John Schock's email there, he said that the report from Fussin and Neal was going to be out in the spring. I also said...
Yeah, the TMDL report.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Because
I sit on the board of directors for the Narrow River Preservation Association also,
okay.
and so we're kind of waiting for that report.
Yeah,
well.
He said spring. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But when it does...
Spring of 18.
Yeah.
They're early if it comes out.
Yeah.
No.
What does TMDL stand for?
Total maximum daily load.
Load.
Yeah,
amount
totally,
of pollution you're allowed to dump.
Water.
So
like,
fecal,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's
like a fecal column,
fecal
column,
yeah,
fecal column
basically, yeah.
Measurement, basically, of the water.
Okay.
Which should, so the idea is that they're looking for strategies to minimize the TMDL
yeah.
for the Narrow River.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean that's sustainability too, right? It's everything.
Definitely.
Which is why a map would be so.
That reminds me that there's a lot of activity around Green Hill Pond.
There is, yes.
As well, and just overall pollution in that pond.
Which one?
Green Hill Pond.
Green Hill Pond. It's right on the border with Charleston.
Don't eat the shellfish.
Right. Shellfish probably help.
Yeah, there. We had a bunch
yeah,
of people
so
at.
Bad.
We had a bunch of people come to the comprehensive plan workshops talking about Green Hill Pond and how polluted it is and how they
wow.
really are trying to get the town to take some sort of action on it.
Because isn't Narrow River on sewer?
Some of it is. Yeah.
But it really comes down to, I mean, I live right in that neighborhood.
A lot of it's
so,
stormwater runoff.
It comes down to town needs to come up with some sort of... Everyone wants to just
which is a big
cut. Let's
yeah.
let's dredge and flush the flush
Green
the stuff
Pond
down.
Yeah,
flush the stuff downstream a little
yeah.
further.
As long as it's not here, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's it. You know?
Open up
and
yeah.
You know, it needs to be addressed
yeah.
in a different fashion. That's why that preferred landscaping project is another good thing regionally, because if. You know, Charlestown started in that if it puts a list of landscapers that are agree to a certain criteria as far as procedures on lawns and that sort of thing, then that kind of reduces the amount of runoff that ends up in the ponds. And,
Is it?
Charlestown just started that last year.
maybe I'm getting too far into the weeds now, but where can we get hold of information like finding out which town buildings spend the most on heating and power? And
we have that information.
We've audited stuff, absolutely.
Yeah. In the schools.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have audits. We actually don't have it as much on the school properties because they have their own, I mean, it's available, but they sort of have their own facilities program. When we talk about town buildings, generally we're talking about the municipal buildings, not necessarily the town public school buildings. But
there was a lot of information. There was a presentation actually from one of the women that came from URI to our kickoff for the comprehensive plan and gave a presentation on town buildings and energy efficiency and what people are using and not using.
No, it was Carrie Gill. It was Carrie Gill. She was basically just using the portfolio manager data, which had been updated specifically for SK by URI because they were trying to get us geared up for our comp plan stuff. But yeah, that's available.
Okay.
One thing too, just to add to the discussion, so we have the solar ordinance that hopefully is going to get passed by the council next month. What we've been talking about is it's a complicated ordinance, right? So there's a lot of stuff in it about review procedure and what's allowed where. The planning department wants to make basically a user's guide to that ordinance that we could hand out to people. I'm a homeowner and I want to do this. You know, how do I get that approved? So something that is, you know, flowchart or something that makes that really complicated policy document easy to understand by anybody.
Absolutely.
We should have that for everything.
How
to get efficient.
Right. I mean, from our perspective, it's how do you get something approved? And it really, we should have that kind of flowchart for every application. Mm-hmm. That'll come.
Flowcharts often live inside of planners' heads, but we do communicate them out fairly frequently when people ask.
All the time.
Right. I mean, and there's got to be examples, like I know in Michigan, I worked with them at the state level, they started creating those to make it easy to work with.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that like lean mentality where they make every process efficient and then document how, like, what the process is.
Yeah.
For us, I think it's going to start with, well, what is our existing process and how do you get through it? And then are there ways to make it more efficient?
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, with planning, most of the process is governed by state law, so there's not much we can do to change what's required, but certainly to make it easier to understand. But so that's the idea with the solar. So once we get that drafted, we'll probably bring it to you guys to take a look at, give us recommendations.
That'd be great.
See if it could be better.
My only question for you is, did we want to even talk about, like, the buckets of areas?
You want to do that now?
I don't know. I mean, it might be helpful if we're going to be doing some work around it. I mean, I just had energy and water together. This is energy and water, transportation, food, building, and housing. I don't know if... And then I had, like, community as, like, one of those groups. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. There's intersections. So I'm just trying to think of how we think of sustainability in terms of the broadest buckets, knowing that energy might be a big one.
Want to see waste.
Yeah, waste.
And I would say water.
Separate from energy.
Yeah, I'd say water is separate from energy, but maybe water either in with waste or its own bucket. But I definitely think that there seems to be a lot of room over increased recycling in town. That sort of thing. Like, when I moved here, I couldn't believe that there wasn't, like, I guess there is recycling pickup, but there's not trash pickup, right?
Town-wise.
But only if you pay for it.
Only if you pay for it, yeah. But it's like, there's so many businesses in town that don't recycle because it's just, they have to pay for it anyway. I don't know, I just feel like there's areas to improve town's recycling, right?
So waste would be its own.
Waste, yeah.
Okay.
So,
solid waste should be its own. Because there's also waste in wastewater. It's another huge... Huge one.
So, would you have energy and water together or separate?
I would keep them separate.
And water be separate, right?
I think I agree with that.
Again, trying not to make 12 buckets of priorities, just so I'll just
listing and
recombine. Yeah, exactly. So then you're saying even within waste, you're saying solid versus water.
Wastewater.
Well, what's funny is I think maybe start with all the buckets that you can think of, and then you quickly find, like, okay, we can't focus on these all, and the town's fairly well covered in these buckets.
These
so
buckets,
you know, but it doesn't hurt to understand how all these different things that function within sustainability.
Yeah. I mean, really, you could think, you could group them as like services or infrastructure. So mm-hmm. if you said, if it's infrastructure, then it would be, you know, water infrastructure, wastewater infrastructure, trash pickup, you know, maybe an infrastructure, mm-hmm. or like community services, services that the yeah. community provides, versus like renewable energy isn't a service, it's not an infrastructure, it's a sort of a different animal.
Mm. Unless you're incorporating it into the infrastructure, like on yeah. the roof.
Right.
And then things like, I'm sure the wastewater plant's probably the biggest user of power in the whole town yeah. by far.
So would buildings, though, mm. buildings in... Building.
So, like, to me, but if you made a building bucket,
yeah,
the solar related to buildings would fall in that bucket.
Yeah.
Right.
You know. Mm. Yeah. So if you're doing it that way, then I almost feel like I'm not vouching for this one way or another. But if you do it that way, then like behavior change or that would be a bucket. So it's kind of you're classifying it differently.
Like, you're classifying it like by type of action, sort
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
Related to infrastructure, related to buildings, related to change of behavior, related to. Transportation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But when you have like public infrastructure, then that would include transportation also. You'd have all that in that one bucket. You'd have your.
Yeah.
That's why I was having a tough time drawing this map because I started having I had like connected to this. I had government, I had business and economic development, I had community, and then I had
consumer.
Yeah, well, I think I put. Conservation committee, but that was just like one of the things that I heard. But I only had like energy, water, transportation. Is food? Would you consider food or want
to? I'm super interested in food, but just because I'm super interested in that doesn't mean that.
But the whole stuff around the connection with health, like the mm-hmm. stuff that you were doing around right. food deserts yeah. and health and sustainability yeah. of a community
and transportation, like you're buying local. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the first task will be and like there's so much you can do.
Yeah. yeah.
But like put it on the list, and then you're just on the list.
So we'll chat. We'll have. Is this yeah. all right? If I take this, work with Chelsea, and start figuring out a way for us to then start looking at it, whether it's by infrastructure, whether it's by category, yeah. and then
yes.
figure out the way to get
yes.
people's ideas together.
Yes.
Okay.
I think what you'll find is that there's many areas where you're like, we can't get into this. Plus,
right.
the town is very well equipped.
Right.
Like, transportation,
yeah.
I think, is an area
yeah.
where there's a lot of yeah. sustainability that could be done, but there's going to be a lot yeah. of
groups. There's already a lot of people working on
so,
that.
I mean, we have a new group coming on that's going to be looking at bicycle pedestrian mm-hmm. issues.
I think.
So.
But that would be our process of elimination once we get the
exactly.
map down. We're
yeah.
going to get this map
yeah,
up and
yeah,
be
yeah,
like,
yeah.
all right, well, this is already, like, a
yeah.
lot of people are thinking about this. This is impossible for us to
yeah.
do. And then I think that'll help us kind of.
Prioritization
yeah.
stuff that
mm-hmm.
has the biggest impact, stuff we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 And I think what you'll find, because you are in the realm of planning, which is why we're staffing you, that everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard to put it in buckets, but you just do. You just put it in buckets so that you can organize your thoughts. Whether or not...
And move forward.
Right. You can organize your thoughts and keep going and not get stuck on, well, what's related to what? Because really, everything is related.
Yeah.
You know, every planning, it's a comprehensive plan has, I think, 12 different things that you are supposed to think about in a comprehensive plan. But when you start going down the realm of transportation, you think, well, I'm also talking now about energy efficiency, and it just, it's all muddled.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really just creating a path to move forward that's an easy way for you all to think about it. And I think Tony will
mm-hmm.
help us get there.
Great.
Okay.
Happy to do that
good.
Piece.
Awesome. Anything else before we adjourn? 24 minutes early.
This is exciting.
Oh, wow.
All right. Okay.
Awesome.
Then I don't know that we need a motion of adjournment, and we probably do.
You know what? I learned what's just so funny. We were like all experts in Robert's Rules, and we were doing it forever, a motion to adjourn. And then someone informed me now, Robert's Rules actually just say the meeting's adjourned.
Right.
And it's over.
Because why would you have to vote to end a meeting? That
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
make any sense.
But someone says it.
Yep.
So it's on the
record. Yeah,
it's adjourned.
Right. Right.
Yes.
And then
okay.
everything else that happens on the recording is like, okay, we can skip
yeah.
that. Skip all that stuff. Okay, then. Nothing else? We will adjourn for the night.
Great. Standard meetings are...
Yeah, your standard meeting right now is this time, third Monday at 6. But like we said, we want to have interim ones, we are happy to do that. But for right now, third Monday at 6.
Can we bring snacks?
Yes.